This is the John Gambling Show.
My concern is we're not sharing information again. I'm sure Ray Kelly would want to have his hands raised in front of Congress if there's some attack where he didn't share information with appropriate folks and try to explain why he abandoned the cardinal lesson of 9/11.
Governor Christie should just calm down a bit. Go see a baseball game or something. Have a beer and lighten up.
The Tri-State's best news talk radio.
There have been allegations made against my supporters, against my campaign staff, and probably by extension to me. None of these allegations have been proven. We're moving forward.
They've had along the way all these different privacy policies that are completely different from each other. And that was a problem because it's hard to keep track, and also they couldn't share a very important thing, which is data from one service to another.
Now, on News Talk Radio 710 WOR, here's John Gambling.
And here we go. Good morning, everybody. 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, Friday, and on the telephone this morning is Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Hello there, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, John. It is bright and sunny in northwest D.C., and as we're flying down this morning, there's still clouds, but the sun is coming in the direction, I think, of New York.
What you doing in D.C.?
Going to have a panel discussion with some other mayors and the Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan, on the future of public education and how we give our kids better tools to share in the great American dream.
All right,
get a job and keep it.
Yeah, you're generally in sync with the secretary, aren't you, on the way they're going?
Yes, I think that's a fair statement. I've said a number of times I think the president and his secretary of education have a chance to be remembered as the great duo for public education. They've taken on some of the real issues and have been really supportive of New York City.
All right. The question of the teacher evaluations is one that is never ceasing, and we've been talking about it for a long, long time. I talked with Michael Mulgrew this morning, and he says he's anxious to get an evaluative process, yet at the same time, he doesn't seem to be moving forward. Where does all of that stand?
Well, if you go back a few years ago, the state legislature passed a bill saying we should have evaluations, but that the city and the union, and that's it's actually true for all of the unions and the cities in the state and school districts, should negotiate an evaluation process. But we all know that, you know, a union representative, president, his job or her job is to protect all their members and only have discrimination based on seniority and not to have evaluations. So they would never negotiate something like that, and that was the fatal flaw. Governor Cuomo did is he understood this, and he said, look, we need an evaluation system that works, and if you don't do it, I'm going to do it myself and get it into the budget. And the governor has had the courage to do that. There's a couple of small things that still have to be negotiated under the governor's proposal, and that's what the brouhaha is about. But I assume because the monies are out there from the federal government and we have to have it negotiated, without, otherwise we won't get the monies, and also the public pressure is demanding that there's an evaluation system that's accurate and realistic and in public full view, in the end, the union will understand they have to agree. But it's just a couple of small things, and I suppose if you didn't negotiate them, then you wouldn't have an evaluation system. We'd be in the same spot next year, and the difference is we'd lose a few $100 million.
I read this week about what happened in Virginia on their gun law. Governor Bob McDonald signed a law repealing the gun buying limit this week. Have you spoken with the governor?
I have not. He actually, when he was in the legislature, I think voted on the other side. But, you know, the governor of Virginia can speak for himself and his own views. In New York City, we find an enormous number of the guns used to shoot and kill people and shoot and, sadly, every once in a while, kill a cop, have come from Virginia. And so, you know, we have a very big vested interest. If every state, I really do believe, does have the right to have their own gun laws. But when somebody from that state takes those guns and takes them elsewhere, then it seems to me it's the state where the guns were first purchased responsibility to protect the other states, because what they allow in their state does have the impact outside. New York City has brought the crime rate down so low. We're on record for another record year. We're on course for another record year in low murders. But there's more guns than people in this country, and they flood up what we call the Iron Pipeline, Route 95, coming up from the south. Virginia is one of the states where the dealers really do sell more to people without background checks, and a lot of those guns wind up on the streets. And you saw that just this past week, a cop was shot. Fortunately, the bullet hit his ammunition clip on his belt buckle and didn't injure him. But we've had four shootings. I think two of the four guns came from Virginia. All four were illegal guns, and one of them killed a police officer, Officer Fagasi, and he had four daughters he left behind. You know, their father's never coming home, and it's time for us to stop this senselessness.
It is crazy. Are you surprised? We've been spending a lot of time today on this whole criticism of the NYPD on the terrorism in New Jersey, the surveillance that's going on. Are you surprised at some of the words you're hearing from the governor and the mayor of Newark?
Well, I haven't talked to either one about it. We have an agreement with the state of New Jersey signed by, I think it was Governor Cody, in terms of helping them, because it's a regional problem, prevent terrorism. And we also have an agreement as to what would happen if we had to respond, and we do it jointly. And also, in the case of, I think it's Newark, they've assigned one of their police officers to work with the NYPD. So we've certainly been keeping them informed. But the truth of the matter is, what we've been doing in New Jersey is what anybody in this country or in the world can do. You can go to open meetings, and you can go on open websites and look and see what's there. And that's really all we've been doing, and we have a responsibility to do that, and we share the information with New Jersey. You got to remember, John, that a lot of the World Trade Center terrorists that killed 3,000 people went back and forth to New Jersey and trained. I think some of the training was in New Jersey, certainly some of the planning was in Newark, as a matter of fact. And so to say that the NYPD should stop at the border is a bit ridiculous. The NYPD, I think, is recognized by all professionals as the finest police department in the world. We have an awesome responsibility, if you think about it. We have to be right every single day. We have to be perfect. And terrorists only have to be right once. And we're just not going to put ourselves in a position where we can lose 3,000 people. So I think what we've got to do is just work together. We'll do as good a job as we can to keep everybody informed. Sometimes there's nothing to inform them. Sometimes you inform people and they don't listen. I think we should work and find the things that we can work together with Governor Christie and Mayor Booker rather than spend our time trying to find differences.
All right. The pension problem in New York City is huge. You've talked about it virtually every week for years now. And the governor wants to do something about pension reform. He talked about Tier 6 and 401ks rather than the other alternative, the defined plan. But he's waffling on that a little bit. You concerned?
Well, I don't know that he's waffling. I think, you can address the questions to the governor. When I talked to him yesterday, and we didn't talk specifically about the 401ks, but the governor and I spent all our time talking about how we get pension reform done. And I think the governor understands just how important this is. And interestingly enough, it is when I had this meeting up in Albany 2 days ago, the smaller towns and less populous counties throughout the state have a much bigger problem even than New York City does. The size of their budgets are, in the millions or hundreds of thousands, and ours are in the billions, but nevertheless, as a percentage, they have as big, if not a bigger, problem. And there's this property tax cap that was passed by the legislature. The governor got that through last year, which limits their property tax increases to 2%. A number of them have their pension costs going up 5 or 6%, and between that and Medicaid, which still goes up, that's more than 2%, eats up their whole budget. One of the mayors said they're closing all funding for libraries, just gonzo. And, you know, there were three or four different county execs and mayors who said they had laid off 10-15% of their employees already and had big plans to do a lot more in the next 6 months because they can't raise their property tax. Some costs they have no control over. You know, they have to have fuel to heat the school. They don't have any input on the price of fuel. They've got to pay whatever the going rate is, or automobiles, their police cars, whatever cost of gasoline is. So they're really even more than New York City between a rock and a hard place. But New York City, you know, we're spending $7 billion more than we did 10 years ago on our pensions. That's $7 billion that could reduce the tax burden on hardworking New Yorkers. It's $7 billion more that could get us more pay for teachers and firefighters and police officers and more of them. It's $7 billion that could help those who are less fortunate. There's a lot you can do with $7 billion, even for New York City. That's an enormous amount of money.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's right.
I was just going to say that it's been interesting to watch the reaction of towns and cities with this 2% cap that the legislature has put in. A significant portion have already voted to go above that cap.
Well, you know, you've got to make a decision. Do you want the service or do you want to pay less? I think it's basically fair to say that almost no municipality wastes money in the context of the town supervisors have a hunting lodge in France that they go to every year, or drive around in Bentleys and Rolls Royces. Most towns use their money reasonably efficiently. The business model for government is you hire people to provide services. If you don't want to spend the money, you have to have fewer people, which means you get fewer services. And take your pick. There is no free lunch. Whether it's paid for by the federal government, the state government, or local governments, it's the taxpayers that are paying. And I think we forget about that. We assume we have to spend the money, or if it's picked up by a different level of government, it's not our money. All of it's our money.
Wall Street, I talked to Tom DiNapoli this week, and we were talking about the bonuses in Wall Street compensation and how it affects the city's coffers and the state's as well. What's your take on that? Do you think it's...
Tom DiNapoli, I think, put out a press release saying bonuses were down, or going to be down about 14%. And I've talked to our head of our Office of Management and Budget, Mark Page, and our experience to date was something like 12.5%, which is right in the same ballpark as Comptroller DiNapoli said. So he's probably right. How much that affects the local economy is a little bit hard to measure. If Wall Street bonuses go to people who live outside of New York City, we don't get any tax revenue, and the multiplier effect of them spending money occurs outside of the city. If it occurs in the city, then it's much more damaging to us. We've used for a long time $1 billion in profits is something like $70 million in city tax revenues. I don't know that we have a rule of thumb for bonuses because it's so hard to calculate. Sometimes they get bonuses that are taxed differently. Sometimes they get bonuses that really come in the form of stock or options, and they don't can't exercise them and spend the money. But we'd like to see everybody make more money, and that generates more tax revenues, and that tax revenue gets spread around providing municipal services, and also they spend the monies that they make in stores and on goods and services that help other people. So we're all in this together.
All right, Mr. Mayor, I know you got work to do in Washington. I'll let you go. Thank you for your time this morning, and we'll check in next week.
Looking forward to it, John. The weather starts a little bit of rain tonight and tomorrow, but St. Patrick's Day parades start tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
One
tomorrow and two on Sunday. Anybody that wants to join us, look in the paper. We'd love to have you.
All right. March well, sir. March well, indeed. See you next week. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on the John Gambling Show. 24. 20-